Parshas Kisavoy is really speeding towards Rosh Hashanah. It's basically Kisavoy and Solomon Vayelech, and then it's next week's Parshas Solomon Vayelech, and then Shabbos after is ready Rosh Hashanah. So we're really speeding towards Rosh Hashanah. And I'll be honest with you, I speak for myself, I don't feel the panic. You know, I know what it's like giving in my tax returns every year, and I know what it's like to have deadlines in business, or deadlines in learning, or deadlines in preparing something for giving a shiur in time. And there's a certain nervousness at Rosh Hashanah, where at the end of the day, our entire life of ourselves and our family and Klal Yisrael, whether we have lived to the next year or whether we don't, Chalila, whether we have plenty or Chas Chalila the opposite, whether there's health or the opposite. And it's all Shochel and Rosh Hashanah. It's all then Rosh Hashanah, and it's all signed and sealed Rosh Hashanah if we're Tzadikim, and it's all signed and sealed Rosh Hashanah if we're Rishoyim, and we have an extra few days if we're Beinonim. And it's all up in the balance. And it goes straight over our heads. You know, Rosh Hashanah, we're thinking about, oh, you know, good thing about the meals, who should we invite for the meals, and, you know, make sure we get some nice honey this year, and let's get a place in Shul. But Rosh Hashanah, you know, this is a real deal. So how do we... Absolutely, how do we internalize this, and how do we get this really clear for ourselves? And it's an avoida. It's not easy. It's a fum tzara agra, it's an avoida. But let's get this clear. End of the day, every day, we have now the shofar. And the pasuk says, beginning of the brachas that lead unto the klodus. For hoyan tim shmaya tishma bekoil Hashem alekecha, and you'll listen to the koil of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lishmoy lasus kol mitzvaysov. They listen to his mitzvahs, Hashanoichi mitzavcha ayana commanded today, Unasoncha Hashem lekecha, Kodesh Baruch Hu will give you Elyon akol goy oritz. He'll put you on top of all the goy oritz. In other words, this is a pasuk telling us that if you listen, it'll be okay. And Baruch Atah Be'ir, Baruch Atah Be'sadeh, Baruch Be'vitnecha, you get all the brachas. If you listen, you get all the brachas. We are being woken up every day with a shofar. Are we really listening? Says Reb Leib Chassman, says Reb Chaskel Levenstein, Chatzkel, he said, unfortunately, each and every one of us, including all the way up to the Gedolei Olam, there's a certain level of klala that has affected us. And one of the klalas of Yevahoyim Loisishma, if you don't listen, is a klala brought down in Perik Chofches, Posuk Chofches, Koyach, Koyach. Yakcho Hashem, HaKosh Baruch Hu shall smite you, B'shigoin. Shigoin means craziness. Ube Ivoroin, and with blindness, Ube Simoin Levov, and with a blocked heart. Says Rav Chatzke Levenstein that each and every one suffers from this. Let's shiga on, let's craziness. What's shiga on? He translates shiga on. Das ha odom einam yeshevis olov. A person does not think through things clearly. He's bewildered. He's confused. He doesn't see things the way they are. Shiga on, it's craziness. If a person knew what Olam Haba was, if a person knew what Schar Mitzvah was, would he possibly do an Avera? It wouldn't be Shaykh. And we're all smitten with Shiga on, we're all crazy. Remember once, in Eish HaTorah, when I was teaching, there was a big Rosh Yeshiva called us all in, everybody, all the Mechanchim, right across the board, the Yeshiva, the Discovery Program, the fellowships, everybody there, all the Rebbeim, everyone had to come. And they gave out badges. And on the badge says, at least I know I am. And everyone had to wear the badge. Well, Agba actually did, but we all walk around the badges. So what's Peshat? He said, the whole world is crazy, Rav Noach used to say. We're including us, but at least we know we're crazy. That's doing Elul. At least we know we're crazy. Yes, the badge says, at least we know it. Dot, 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 but at least we know it. So everyone asks you, what does it mean? What's this badge you're wearing? Everyone's crazy, but at least we know we're crazy. We are crazy. We have shiga on. We are crazy. A person not to take Avodas Hashem seriously is craziness. We'll be Yevorin. We're blind. Look at the world falling apart. It's amazing. You just have to look in current events. How HaKadosh Baruch Hu's galgal chozer ba'olam. Rabbeinu Shlomo's twist things around, turn things around. You know, you don't have to be a genius in history to see within one year, how one massive, the largest country in Africa, right? Isn't it? Is Egypt the largest country in Africa? I think it's the largest country in Africa. Yeah, population-wise. Yeah? Large country of Africa. How you had somebody, a dictator, well, wasn't a dictator, he was a form of dictator, Mubarak, where he got thrown into jail. Right? And Morsi takes over. And now, Morsi's in jail, Mubarak's coming out. How things just flip around from day to day. How they found now in Emekele, which is just around the corner from here. It's about, by car, it's maybe 15 minutes from here, one of the largest deposits of oil ever found in the Middle East. Right here. And they're saying that if they find that, Israel will be one of the wealthiest countries. They'll be exporting oil in huge, huge amounts. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can just twist things around. And what's this all about? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control. We don't see it. It's a void. It's blindness. Ube simon levov. Simon levov means we are timhon levov. Timhon levov, Rashi explains, oitim halev. We don't allow things to enter our hearts. We don't allow things to make an impression on us to change us. So we're all suffering from this, certainly before Rosh Hashanah. How do we deal with this? How do we get around this? So I saw a beautiful vote from Rav Hanukh Leibowitz. And he says like this. The parasha begins with the mitzvah of Bikurim. And it goes into great detail. And it goes into great detail exactly how you should bring the Bikurim. And the pasuk says that you should take it to the Kohen of Basa, the Kohen Ashiyeh B'yomim Hahein, bring it to the Kohen, and you should say to him, Megalte Yoyim Hashem Alekecho, I came here, Ki Basi Ela Oros Ash Nishba Shana Vasila Asalonu, HaKosh Brok gave me this land. So it's a pasuk. V'lokach HaKohen HaTenem Yodecho, the Kohen should take the basket from your hand, V'hinichoi Lifnei Mizbach Hashem Alekecho. And you should take it right then and there and put it in front of Hashem Alekech, in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he has a whole declaration. Vanisav Amarat, and I should say, a whole story of Lavan Arami, Ovid Ovi, went down to Mitzrayim. All the Purushim of this you have in your HaKadosh of Pesach. And then it says very clearly, Pasuk says, Pasuk Yud, Va'ato Hine Hevesi Es Reishis Pri Adomo, bring in the first fruit, Hashem Nasatali, Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me. And I gave it, I put in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'shtachaviso lifnei Hashem alekecho, and I'm bound to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'smachta b'chol ha-toyv, we celebrate asher nosu nocho Hashem alekecho. The parasha goes into that, asks the Sephorno, why is it that the Kohen is going to take the tenor in front of you and in front of your eyes, put it in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, put it in front of Mizbeach? Why? Says the Sephorno, lekach hinicho yehakoyin. The reason why the Kohen takes it is la haros ulohidia, to show you and to let you know. Shah Bikurin loy huvu le Kohen. You're not giving the Bikurim as a gift to the Kohen. This is not for the Kohen. Aval huvu l'Hashem yisporach. It is brought to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vuhu nasun le Kohen. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu then gives it to the Kohen. Im shah matnas kohen with other matnas kohen. In other words, explain this to the foreigner, if the Kohen did not take this basket and put it in front of the Mizbeach, I would think that I am giving the Kohen a gift. It's between me and the Kohen giving him a gift. Says the Torah, no, in order to get round that mistake, the Kohen is going to take it and put it in front of the Mizbeach. And therefore what it's showing you is that you are actually giving it to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Ribbono Shel Olam is giving it to the Kohen. Ask Rav Hanukh Leibowitz, excuse me, the apostle says very clearly, the man is declaring himself, Va'ato hine hevesi es reishis pri adomo, I am taking the first fruit, Ashana satali Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me, V'hinachtoi lifnei Hashem alekecho, and I gave it in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'shtachavis, and I bowed down lifnei Hashem alekecho. The person himself is saying clearly, I am doing this. A person knows that why he's doing it. So why do we need the Kohen to come along with this basket and put it in front of Mizbeach to show us this? The person knows it. Yeah, do you understand? So he explains there's a very, very big difference between knowing something and believing something. A person can know something, but it does not affect him. I know that smoking is bad for me. And I believe to such an extent that I don't smoke. But there's people who know smoking is bad for them. They know. They've read that. They've said doctors. Their doctors are standing outside. Have you seen it? You see doctors that are standing outside Shaarei Tzedek. There's a little room behind Shaarei Tzedek. There's like, you know, there's a cafeteria there. At the back, there's a little, like, a room for naughty people outside. Yeah. And there you see people, doctors coming with their scrubs after an operation. They know, they've studied it, they've seen the statistics. They know, right? And they know the fact, but they smoke. Why? Why? Because they're not cancer doctors. He's a pediatrician, or he is a gynecologist, or he is a ear, nose and throat doctor, right? So they haven't seen people dying in front of their eyes. But a person who has a family member, Rahman Islam, who is seen suffer, that's something else. The doctor said you have lung cancer, they don't smoke. Why? Because when you know the fact, it doesn't make an effect. If you see the images, that's what makes it happen. You know, I had a person who used to smoke, and he used to say to me, you never buy Marlboro Lights that says cancer can kill. You'd only buy the Marlboro Lights that says smoking for a pregnant woman is dangerous. I said, but you know very well, when you're going to buy the cigarettes, you know very well that you're not buying the cigarettes because you know, don't want to have cancer. He said, yeah, but I don't want to see it in front of my eyes. It'll take away my cheshik. But you know it kills you. It doesn't make a difference. Unless you actually see something in front of your eyes, it doesn't have the same effect. What the Torah is telling us over here is, of course you know you're bringing the Bikurim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You yourself are saying it. But unless you visualize it and you actually see it with your own eyes, it doesn't make the effect. It doesn't draw the same picture in your eyes. So it's really telling us two things. First of all, a person can know but not really feel or believe. And secondly, seeing is believing. You see in front of your eyes, you really know. You really know. If a person is blind, it means they don't see. People do Averis, and they know there's an Oynish. A person knows there's an Oynish, and go through a Musa Sforim, and they can learn there's an Oynish, you do this, you get this Oynish, you do that, you get that Oynish. They know Rosh Hashanah is going around the corner, and it doesn't make an effect. How do we possibly make that difference? How do we change it from making no effect to an effect? So Hanukkah Lebowitz says the idea is to make a visualization, to visualize, to make clear in our minds very clearly what Rosh Hashanah is all about. What it's all about. And he says that very often, you can get to Rosh Hashanah and that there's some very, very serious parts of Rosh Hashanah. You know, there's some very, you know, we talk about going through the Pizman of Din. Going through a Pizman of Din. And you're going through the concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaBoichin HaVovois B'Yoyim Din. HaBoichin HaVovois B'Yoyim Din. Hakleine avodov badin. These are very, very serious concepts. And people just go, it's a nice pism and go, doesn't mean you get to the Sana Tekef and then the women's gallery gets going. Yeah, they hear the sobbing and that basically sort of spreads over to the men's and then they really, and then as soon as that's finished, it's gone. Why? Because this is where it's visual. This is where it's visual. And the more visual a person can take in, mi ba'esh, mi ba'mayim. Rahman al Islam, Miba Aish Mimaim, how many people have drowned this year? How many people have drowned this year? Take little newspaper cuttings and see that this person drowned and that person drowned. Miba Chaya, who's been killed? Miba Skila, how many people have been killed in a road accident? There's a woman, a very, very wonderful woman, a tremendous Baal Tzedakah. She has two wonderful children in Ramapit Shemesh. She was killed in a road accident, the Levi is today, Mrs. Samson. A wonderful woman. 1 minute to the next, the whole family is suffering terribly. Skila, when was this Nigzal? Rahman al-Islam, last Rosh Hashanah. We have to take these and visualize it, and that will make the difference between being blind, being Simon Levov, being completely not cognizant of what's going on, and actually visualizing that Chas v'Chalila, this is what stands in front of us in Rosh Hashanah. The parasha carries on, and the parasha says, Chof Zayin Posuk Zayin. This is after the whole the Posuk says, yeah, V'zavachto Shlomim, you shall offer up Shlomim, V'achalto Shom, and you shall eat there, V'samachto lifnei Hashem alekecho, and you should be happy lifnei Hashem alekecho. Says the Sefarno, what's samachto over here? What are we celebrating over here? Al shetikones oz imoy lebris b'hagrizen u'b'har evil. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us into the bris of Hagrizim and Har Evil. Now Rabbi Yisai, what was on the Hagrizim? Brochus or Klolus?
Brochus.
Har Evil was a Klolus. And Klolus, the prophet goes on and you split them up. Eliyam de Levarachus Omal Hagrizim, and these are standing on Har Evil, and it starts off Ora Ha'ish, Ora Makle, Ora Ora Ora, goes all the way through the Oras. Yeah? And these, and there's an opposite for the Brochus. Why does the Sephorna say that we've got to celebrate as well the Klolus? V'samachto lifnei Hashem lekecho, v'samachto al shetikones. Thank you, Kodesh Baruch, for giving us Klolus. Who is saying this? Thank you, Kodesh Baruch, for giving us Klolus. Who's it referring to? If we're referring to a tzaddik who knows that the only greatest pleasure in this world is to do Ratzon Hashem, and he has clarity, he knows that the wonderful thing to do is to follow mitzvahs, then he doesn't need klolus. He doesn't need a klolus. Yeah, if you do this, or makal of imo, you get a klolus. He doesn't need that. He knows he wants the Ratzon Hashem. What's a klolus for? If it's speaking about those people who do not want to follow Ratzon Hashem, they want to follow their own Yetzer Hara, they want to go in their own merry ways, and chasfli go against the Ribbono Shel Olam, these auras are terrible for them, because now they're going to get much more harshly punished than they thought they're going to get beforehand. So why should they celebrate? So who's he referring to? If he's referring to the tzaddikim, they don't need the auras. If he's referring to the rishoy, they're certainly not going to celebrate. So who's supposed to be celebrating over here? What is posha is like this, that people who want to do avirus are blind. They do not see, and even an aura will not stop them. Who is this referring to? Says Rehenda Chlebowitz again. It's referring to people who want to do Ratzon Hashem. They want to do Ratzon Hashem. That is what they are noita to be facing. That is what they want to be doing. But ultimately the Yitzhara gets in the way. And unless we have an oral, unless we have a clear indication of if you deviate what's going to happen to you, the Yitzhara overcomes us. The greatest oral, Rabbi Yisai, and the greatest Baruch is in front of us in 2 weeks. If we do tshuva, we have a wonderful year. If we don't, we don't. And any motivation we need is from the biggest Or and the biggest Baruch that comes in Rosh Hashanah. We've got to celebrate the Rosh Hashanah, that you have a Rosh Hashanah every year, to bring us back on track, to give us the indication that if we don't do what we should be doing, then Rachmanah Litzlan, we're going to get into trouble. Rav Moshe is Madaik, that in fact, there wasn't even a celebration, an equal celebration of Hagrizim and Har Evil. He brings the Pasuk, V'zavach to Shlomim, V'achal to Shom, this matter of Shem Lekecho is referring to that the Korban, the Korbanos, the Shlomim, and the Mizbeach was made on Har Grizim. On Har Evil. On Har Evil was where the real celebrations took place. Asks Ramesha, why is it that the main celebrations took place on Har Evil, where we got the Klolus? Why don't we celebrate the Brochus? Why do we celebrate Klolus? What's the idea behind that? So listen to this very, very carefully, and it's a fantastic vote. Ramesha says in last week's parasha that it's also to make a matzeva. It is also to make, when you bring up a korban, it's also to make a matzeva. In other words, when we bring up a korban, it's got to be made on a Mizbeach. A Mizbeach is made of stones, of different small stones. We discussed this in previous years. Yeah? What is stronger, to have an edifice made out of one solid stone, or an edifice that's made out of bricks stuck together with cement, with a bit of dust in the middle? What is better? Obviously, a single solid stone is much stronger than a bunch of stones put together. So why is it that it's also to make a Mizbeach, which is supposed to be a strong structure, a Mechubat structure, why can we not make that out of one solid stone? Why is it out of little stones? Says Rav Moshe, is to show us that the last thing a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants is us to be static. If you have one single stone, it means that is what it is. Nothing can grow on this Mizbeach. Nothing can fall away either. But that's not a human being. A human being is not a person who ultimately is one on one status the whole time. He is somebody who strives to grow. And in his striving, he may fall. That may be. But the godliness of a human being, the strength of a human being, is to constantly look and to inspire for greatness, to move on, not to be satisfied for where he is. Now, one of the biggest insults you can give, the Bala Musa would give a person, is he's a zatta. Zatta in Yiddish means he's a man who's satisfied. He's happy with where he's holding. Ah, Baruch Hashem, I'm quite happy where I am. That is the greatest insult. This a zatta. He's satisfied. What is a brocha and what is a klala? Sorry, just to finish off this. Therefore, make a bunch of stones. Because stones identify an ability to grow more. I may fall apart in a process. That's human nature. But it has an ability to grow more. What is a brocha and what's a klala? A bracha is a definition of having what you need in this world. A person has bracha. Bracha means he has enough parnasa, he has health, he has success, he has a good family, he has good name. These are all elements of bracha. He has shalom, he has peace. If a person has bracha, and he has sometimes an abundance of bracha, then this person can think to himself that I've reached my destination. I have reached where I need to reach. I don't have to go any further. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling me, with the bracha that he gave me, that he's very happy with me. If that's the case, I can rest on my laurels. I don't have to move further. Says Rav Moshe, if a person uses bracha for the wrong way, then the bracha HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him is the greatest klala. Therefore, the bracha can sometimes be a terrible klala. And therefore, unless a person is wise to celebrate bracha by saying, Rabbi Shalom, thank you, you gave me a message, I have what I need, that turns itself into the greatest klala. However, on the contrary, klala represents an element of not having what you need, or understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu requires more from you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not happy with you. And therefore, I have to grow. I have to look into myself and see what does Rabbi Shalom expect more from me. If that is the case, if a person works on himself and he has the element of not having what he needs and he works in order to make sure that he betters himself, then the klala is the greatest bracha. That klala, the oror, becomes the greatest bracha. Celebrate it. Bring kabbalah. Thank you, Kodesh Baruch Hu, for showing me that I am deviating from what the path that you're supposed to be setting aside, and I'm going to be working harder. And therefore, dafka on the mountain of klala, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the told Klal Yisrael to bring kabbonis, to be mesameach, that klala, end of the day, indicates a lack, and the lack is going to motivate us to do better, and that becomes automatically the greatest bracha. The bracha, on the other hand, unless it's realized and appreciated that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you that in order to help you further, can actually turn into the greatest klala. I just want to give you two beautiful stories. That sometimes a person does not see. A person looks around them and sometimes sees klala. Sometimes mamash sees klala. He does not realize, does not appreciate that the klala HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving him is ultimately the greatest bracha. And the course of his life can change because of the Rotzon Hashem. And with the Munim B'tochem, by working ourselves before the event happens, one can actually have a completely different perspective. One can see, you know, sometimes people Nebuch, they're blind, does not mean that they can't see, they're just seeing things in the wrong light. Some people see colorblind, they're just seeing colors look different. Unless we have the right perspective, things can look different. There's a story over here of Zilberstein brings down. Now, there was a man with a Kanaanahor, a growing family, and he realized at one stage in time that he's got to leave the base of Medrash and go and work. And he went looking for a job, and he got placed. He was a very intelligent person, a very organized person. He got employed by a management company in a very prestigious job. He became very high up in a management position, and he's earning a very, very nice wage. Okay, Baruch Hashem, he has panasa, he's marrying off children, everything's going nicely. One morning, he gets a knock at the door, and there's a special delivery, a post. Mail. And the postman asks him to sign off, takes the thing there, he signs a letter, opens up the letter, and this is a letter of piturim. It is a letter of that he has been fired from the job, he's been laid off. I'm very sorry, sir, you know, due to downsizing of the company, we have no choice but to lay off 40% of the staff. I hope, you know, I really do wish you well in the future, but this is the situation. He got laid off. He got no job. Okay, I'll have a few months, he'll have what you call pitsuim. Yeah, he'll get pituach lumi, but at the end of the day, he doesn't have a job. Okay? As he goes downstairs to digest this, on the way to Shachris, one second. Yeah. So he decided, you know what, he's going to go to the business anyway, and maybe just be able to negotiate with the boss, maybe he'll still find him a job, you know, maybe a little bit less wages. So he takes his briefcase, he goes down, and he goes to his car, and he realizes his brand new car that he bought a couple of weeks beforehand was stolen. Not only that, he hadn't managed to change over the insurance from his old car to the new car. Right? He hadn't managed to change over the insurance from the old car to the new car, and therefore he's left now without a job and without a car, and he's lost it. I mean, it's mamash, this day is not starting well. So most people go back to bed and just hope it's a bad dream and carry on. This person was a Talmud Chochem, he's a Yorei Elokim. This person had his feet thrown down in this world. He said, listen, what's the point of trying to want now? I haven't got a job, I haven't got a car. Okay, let's go to the Beis Medrash. He went to the Beis Medrash and started learning. He says he got himself chavrusas and started to learn. Kosh Baruch will help. 48 hours later, he gets another registered letter. So he opened it. And this letter, listen to this, Rabbi Isai, this letter was from an organization who was looking at Kisvei Yad. They were working through old manuscripts that have to be redone. And they were looking for people who were able to look through these manuscripts. It's an incredibly long job, very, very well paid. Looking for people who are able to look through these manuscripts and to able to write them out and to explain them and to edit them. It's a very, very big job, and they're looking for people who are able to do that. So they had to send in your references, show you how long you've been in yeshiva for, etc., etc. And it went through to this machon, this organization, 18 years before. 18 years ago, as a young avreich, he'd sent them his application for the job. And because of what happened, though, they changed hands, and then the Amutar went bankrupt, and then they had to change hands, and then the new manager, and the person. It took 18 years to get everything back in order, and now they've got a huge grant in order to further the work that they let off 18 years back. And now they're looking for people who are able to do that. And so they look through his resume, and they're very impressed by his skills, and they would like very much for him to take on the job. However, They have two conditions. Condition number one is that this person, at the time when this letter reaches them, is learning Yoimon Valaila, Toiroso Mnosi. He does not have any other job. Doesn't have a job. He's sitting there learning a koil. Number one. Number two, to show his seriousness, that he is somebody who is focused on learning, he shouldn't have a car. Because if he has a car, then he's going bouncing from here and there, he's got all different errands. He is a Bentoira who doesn't have a car. That's what they're looking for. This man was a Bentoira for 48 hours and he didn't have a car. And he got placed in his fantastic job where he was put in a position of managing a team of Tamil Chachamim who were willing to take over to Kisvei Yad. He's learning Yom and Valayla day and night. And he's been Marbitz Torah to huge amounts of people with an excellent wage. But he had to lose his job. And he had to lose his car. Otherwise he couldn't get the job. Rabbi Isai, you know, this is an incredible story, but it all happens in our own lives as well. You see Siyata Dishmaya. And if you see that Siyata Dishmaya, and one learns from it, one is so excited by doing Ratzon Hashem, sometimes even these Yisroim don't even hurt us. You know, it doesn't even affect us. Zerusha brings a Maisa, not this is an Elim Shabbayach, by the way. He brings a Maisa and Shichnis in other Sefer, what's it called? Tubcha Yabil. He says the Achim Kleiman, two brothers, told over a story that in the camps there was one incredibly bad, incredibly evil Nazi, and without any whim or reason, he would take a Jew and beat him with incredible achzorius, with incredible cruelty, just for the sake that everyone should know who's running the place. And he said he used to start hitting them with a stick. Eventually, he found a metal, a rubber pipe, and he used to beat people with a rubber pipe. One time, the Jews of the Machne saw this German leaving his room, and he was there's an evil look on his face like the Malach HaMavis, and he had in his hand this pipe, and he knew that he's looking for a korban. There was a little boy of 13 years old who passed him by, and the Mefaked, this officer, told him on the spot to lie on his stomach, and this Amaleki hit him 25 times with all his might on the boy's back. And the boy did not murmur. He did not make a murmur. He did not make a peep. He did not groan or mumble or anything. And he was so angry, he told him to turn round and hit him another 25 times on his stomach. And again, this boy was in incredible pain, but nothing, not a word came out of him. Afterwards, the people in the camp said to him, "How is it possible? How are you able not to groan in pain?" He said, "I've got a siddur hidden over here. And I managed to get siddur from the outside into the camps. I should be upset when he gives me a few hits. What's a few hits? I managed to get a siddur for the klal. I managed to bring a siddur for the people here. They can daven now. What's a few hits with a bit of a rubber pipe?" This is a koyach of perspective. This is a koyach of visualization. This is a koyach of realizing where we're going. Seeing that at the end of the day, that our maisim tovim are the things that will bring us be'ezus Hashem to visualize the year, how wonderful it can be. And Rahmana Litzlan, what stands against not us, but stands against those who don't realize what Rosh Hashanah is all about, who don't take this time seriously. Mi ba'esh, mi ba'mayim, mi ba'kitzah, mi lo ba'kitzah. These are real things. To visualize it. To realize that the honor is not there in order to make us panic. It's there to motivate us to do the right thing. To celebrate the oral, because sometimes the lack is what shows us that haven't quite reached it yet. We have not quite reached where we're holding. You know, there's an incredible amount of oral around us right now. Eretz Yisrael is in a very, very difficult situation from inside and from out. Kodesh Baruch Hu wants more. Kodesh Baruch Hu believes that we can do more. And as Hashem, if we do more, we'll have the perspective that we see Lashkocha Protis, and we won't let these Yisroel bother us. In fact, it'll help us be celebrated with what we have. As Hashem, we've exceeded.